In Sefer Chovos HaLevavot, we're in Shara Avodah Tzadikim, Perek Yud, which is the last perek of this Shara. We're speaking about different midos. We're going to different midos and looking at the spectrum and finding the healthy balance. Yesterday we spoke about Simcha and Atzvus. Today we're speaking about Yira and Tikva. Uvein midotayich yeshman shtei midot acherot shehem ha-Yira va-Tikva al ma sha'alul lehitrachesh ba'atid. So this is, how does one view events that are going to take place in the future? There's a spectrum. On the one hand, there's Yira. Kshat asad devarim shiavio otach lidei matzav shiigrom lach tzar, v'sofo lo yeh tov v'avorech, v'lo yeh lach koach v'yocholet litchot oto me'alaych. There's one side of you which makes you scared of it. You're concerned of it. You're looking at all the possible things that may go wrong. And that creates within you like a panic of fear and anxiety, that's extreme. Or just say, not wanting to do it and hold yourself back. That's the one extreme of how you would approach things that have to happen in the future. That are new things, that are changed things. etc. The other extreme is where you're confident, going to go into it with a certainty, you're happy, you're excited. Now, which side is good? It depends what you're speaking about. There are certain things which you have to be very cautious and you have to be very fearful and you shouldn't go into them just without any like thorough investigation. And if you would go in with this approach of like, I'm keen, I'm excited, let's go without thinking it through well. So it seems happy initially, but that might be a fool's paradise of someone who's invested in some con artist and he's all happy, yeah, I'll go with it, take all my money, we'll see what happens, and then he may lose everything. And a person may agree to things that he's not so convinced, it's healthy for him to agree to. There was once a boy at NCSY Kollel who was in a small group that had like with their madrich, and they were chabura. And at the end of the NCSY Kollel, then the leader of the chabura said, what's it called? The leader of the chabura, the madrich. He said, okay, everyone's going to take on something. And this guy, he didn't realize the ramifications of it. He was just like very excited and inspired from NCSY Kollel. And he says, yeah, like, I'm key, like, whatever it is you give me, I'll take it on. And he accepted it upon himself to learn Shas Mishnayis Baal Peh. Which, in theory, he had koach to do. Like, he was an intelligent individual and he had, like, a good memory. But still, it's a very, 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 very big undertaking. And he was 10th grade then? So he started doing it. And he didn't have to remember it all forever. He just had to, I don't know what his measure was, like when he's allowed to forget it by, but he had to, like each mesecht or each perek, he had like a thing where he would learn each, let's say one perek off by heart, say it to someone, and then move to the next perek. He had like a system of how he was doing it. And he took it on without saying Bli Neder. So he's doing this project now. And by the time he came to Keren B'Avaneh, he hated Mishnayis. He couldn't stand Mishnayis, but he was still doing the project because he's taking it on. And he couldn't find a way to cancel the neder, or maybe he didn't think it was worth to cancel the neder, but he really didn't enjoy learning Mishnayis. So he was still going through the whole project of doing Mishnayis off the heart. But that's an example where he would have been healthy to be on the side of Yira, on the side of caution, on the side of this is a huge undertaking, I'm not going to get myself, even though it's a good thing. And someone might say, just go with it, do it, just do it, it's a good thing. Wait, 1 second. Am I built for this? Is it healthy for me? Is it a good idea for me? Do you have a spectrum? On the other hand, there are some times where you being cautious is going to make you miss out on something valuable. There's a chesed opportunity in front of you to help someone. And the only reason why really, really, if you would be honest with yourself, you're holding yourself back, is just because you can't be bothered and you're lazy. That's the real reason. So you go to the side of cautious and you say, is it cold outside or like how long is it going to take? And do they really need me? Do they have enough people? And then they say, okay, fine, no, I see you're not interested, and someone else goes and does it. And then you just waste your time. Like, you don't do anything very, very valuable in that next hour anyway. It's like looking for something to do, or reading this, or reading that, or looking at this, looking at that. And then, like, you wasted an hour, when that hour could have been used for a valuable chesed opportunity. That's an example where you just say, like, I'm in, I'll go with it. I'll take it on. Like when there's not a huge ramification, my brother-in-law is in a unit that you're not allowed to say that it exists. I looked it up, after he told me what it was called, I looked it up and it said that this unit until year such and such was not known that it existed officially, and then they let it be known that it existed, but so I don't know exactly what he does, but I know it's behind enemy lines, and I know that he goes missing for weeks here and there. And we, like no one, well, he tells us he's going away for a week, but anyway. So once he told me that that they train you to like act on instinct, but they also train you to learn how to trust your instinct. And the first time he was ever in a, he's in a faked of a unit, which doesn't exist. So the first time that it happened, that he had to like do something very major, and it was one of those situations where he had to act on a split second. So he was cautious. Because like people's lives could be on the line because of this. Like they'll be seen and they'll be killed. So it's a big, and he's in charge of it. it's a big responsibility. The first time he didn't act in a split second, and he said, and a few seconds later he realized that he made a mistake, and he said it took him many hours to get out of the situation that they got stuck in because of that. Which if he would have acted on his split second that he wanted to do initially, just he was cautious of, then that would never have happened, and they wouldn't have got into that difficult situation. In the end, everything was fine. But it took many hours to get out of that situation they got into. So there's some times where it's very healthy. If you know that what you're doing is basically good, and you know you can trust yourself, you know that's the healthy thing, and then your caution is just coming from a place of an unhealthy place. It's coming from a place of an unhealthy doubt. A doubt which is going to lead you to a place of not being sure that anything is really true, anything is good, and everything is not certain. Then you have to learn to identify, should I be saying yes immediately and going into the action enthusiastically, or is there room for caution? And with here, the measure that you use is what's normal in the world at large. Things that are normal in the world at large include crossing a street, include once you block the door once, the door is locked. There are things that are normal in the world. There are things that start being abnormal in the world. There are things that are so normal you should be cautious of. Right? One should not invest their money when someone phones. I got a phone call recently from someone. This is a true thing. And he started telling me a whole story, which is a true story. And then he was saying to me, he said, I'm hearing myself speak, and I'm thinking like, why would you believe me? Like what I'm saying, this is a very trustworthy person. And he wasn't even asking me to put out any money or anything. He was just asking me to understand what was going on so that I could be available if there's a need. But he was saying to me like, if you didn't know me and like this wasn't, like this would sound like it's just a story that someone made up. And it wouldn't, it really was. But I checked it out and I looked into the details and it was all true. I was in a situation where I was able to find out the facts and he gave me all the proof and then I was able to be, and then they didn't need me, Baruch Hashem. But I was able to be there to help if there would be a need. That's the case where you wouldn't just phone up someone and you don't know who it is and someone phones you up and asks, could you just give me your credit card details? I'm just doing a check to make sure that the numbers match up with the numbers we have in our office, of an office you've never heard of. So that would be healthy to go on the side of Yira. If someone phones you and say, congratulations, you have won a large amount of money, a name you've never heard of in bold writing, all you have to do is give us your credit card details and we will transfer all the money to you immediately. You should lean on the side of Yira. But if someone asks for help, or there's an opportunity to have time with a Rebbe, or there's a safer you want to learn, or there's something which is good in the world to do, and the only reason you're being held back is like some precaution which is really far-fetched. Like it really doesn't make sense. You want to go somewhere, but you're scared something might happen along the way. So you have to see how normal is that thing. So the definition they give is, if people would go there for business, like if someone, you want to go to a place, let's say you want to go to Gush for Shabbat. Now the road to Gush is a little more dangerous than the road to Kerem B'Yavna. So maybe you shouldn't go to Gush for Shabbat. Maybe you shouldn't go. So the question is that a road that people would go on for a business transaction? And if it's a normal road that normal people travel in, then you should go for that. Crazy. South Africa, people go to safari. Every year people die in safari. I just heard this crazy story, maybe you know the people who happened to, the rabbi in Johannesburg, it's your family, I don't know. There's a rabbi in Johannesburg who went to safari and his car turned over. You heard this story? It's crazy, his car turned over and it was nighttime and he was left in the lion's area, which is already closed, at nighttime with him and three kids, and they were injured, and they walk out of the car and they, you don't know who this is? I don't know who this is. I have the name, I have the name. They walk I don't know exactly the time, but they walked for an hour with blood on them, which is a very dangerous thing to do in the lion's area, with blood on them, walking for an hour until they got to the gate. And then they got to the gate, and they became free. They went to the hospital, and they treated well. Now, that's putting your life on the line. And there are people who die there all the time. Why are they going there? Why? What need do they have? Entertainment. It's fun. It's fun to be in a place where your life is on the line. It's fun. It is fun. It's a thrill. I almost died. Now, they had a much more greater experience than regular people who are this far. If you didn't see a lion, that was boring. If a lion came and like jumped on your car, that was great. That was a good experience in safari. And people do that for fun, and they pay money to do that for fun. They pay money. So therefore, if they're not scared to do that, then if you're coming to learn Torah, and you say, oh, I'm not sure to go on that road, it's a bit of a dangerous area to go. If you're going there to learn Torah, you're going there for a shiur, you're going there for anything which is going to increase mitzvahs or Torah, going there to help somebody, then all those precautions should be put aside. Because if normal people would do it and pay money to do it, and more dangerous things they would do, then certainly. So this spectrum of yira and tikva, this one of like, I'm hopeful and therefore I'm willing to put myself out for it on the one side, or I'm cautious and I have to be careful, there's no right or wrong. What's wrong is to always be on one extreme. That's wrong. It's wrong to say I'm always going to go into everything and be good for everything, and that's wrong, because you're going to find areas where you're going to be tricked. And it's wrong to be always precautious about everything, because there are going to be opportunities that will come your way to do mitzvahs, and you'll miss out on it. So the healthy balance is recognizing this spectrum, having an inner place where you say, I'm open to both options. I'm open to, it could be you're more to the right, more to the left, but I'm open to both options. And I'm always looking to say, what is the right way to respond in this situation? And if there's an opportunity in my way which I can help someone, which I can learn something, which I can do good, then I'm going to lean on the side. After I've done a little bit of checking out, just to make sure it's not a bad idea, I'll lean on the side. But the healthy response is not to be on one side, but to control each side. I can be on each side when I need to be. And when I see a suspicion, I will look into it. And when I see an opportunity, I will go for it. But I'm able to know when is the right one to do on each side. Ubein midotayich yesh lan od shtei midot. And there's another two areas. Gvurat ha-lev v'rakut ha-lev. Strength of the heart and softness of the heart. Makom ha-shimush b'gvurahu. Let me just say, I'll say a story about this one first. It's a very nice story. There was a Jew in Europe. I don't remember where exactly. His name was Frank. That was his last name. And he is the father-in-law of Issa Zalman Meltzer. And three other gedolim, whose names I don't remember for now. And he was a very, very wealthy individual. He had four daughters. And he supported all his sons-in-law in learning. And he had a kollel where he supported learning. He was a very, very, very generous individual. I heard this story from his great-grandson, who said that he saw how wealth can affect people negatively. So he made sure that by the time his children moved on, there was no wealth left in the family. He gave it all away by then. They would be just normal, regular, average people. That's the healthiest way to be. It's difficult to be very poor. It's difficult to be very rich. The message is to be, you have enough money to support your family and to give sucker, and that you're not on an extreme, that you're not labeled by your money. You're labeled by who you are, not by how rich you are. So he was very, very, very rich. And people would come to him for sucker, and he was extremely generous. And once someone came to him and said to him, Rabbi Frank or Mr. Frank, I want a donation for this and this and this. And this wealthy, very generous individual saw that he was not honest. He could see this person wasn't honest. So he said, no, I'm not interested in giving it. And this person then started using manipulation. He said, if you don't give me, I'm going to publicize that you don't give tzedakah and you're a bad person. He says, you can say whatever you want. I give where it's appropriate to give. This is not appropriate to give. And he says, if you don't give me, I'm going to make up rumors about bad things that you did and all these terrible things, and I'm going to spread your name. He says, like, I don't care. You can do whatever you want. I'm doing the will of Hashem, and you can do it. That's between you and I got this baruch hu. It doesn't bother me. You can't threaten me. You can't blackmail me. You can't manipulate me to give you money. Now, what was amazing in this, at the end of the story, he didn't give it. What's amazing in this story is this is an individual who gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. His nature was just give and give and give and give and give. Does that mean that he's all the way on the side of rakut halev? He's all the way on the side of like soft-hearted, that he just gives and gives, and whoever it is, he gives. And if it's someone who's not honest, he'll give as well. No. He was someone who gave and gave and gave and gave where it was appropriate. Someone comes to him, he's not worthy, not giving you a penny. Not giving you anything. You're not worthy. I give wisely. I give where it's appropriate. And even when they're blackmailing him, you would think he would say, okay, well, I'm a strict giver in general. I don't want to get myself in trouble here. I'll give as well. No, that's not. My whole principle in life is giving wisely. And therefore, I'll give. So that shows you that a person isn't naturally, but you don't have to remain naturally all the way on one side. You have to be wise about the spectrum. And where it's appropriate to be a big giver, you give. And where it's appropriate not to, you say, excuse me, no, I'm not going to give. And you go to the other extreme because you're in control of the spectrum. So Gvurat HaLev is Kesha'at Omedet Mul Oyvei Hashem. Az Alayach Lehilachem Bahem Velisbol Kol Etzev V'Lamod V'Kol Nisayon Kedei La'asot Ratzon HaBoreit V'Rach V'et Ratzon HaChasidat. This happened to me just last week. My nature is Rakut HaLev Adaso. Like, I'm very gentle and calm and, like, honestly, I remember in my life getting angry once, about 10 years ago, when someone tried to give me money that they didn't owe me, in the kollel. And I gave it back, and he gave it back, and I gave it back, and he gave it back, and I got fed up. I said, you don't owe me this money, keep it! And I gave it to him. That's the last time the only time I remember getting angry. Not because it's a miler, it's not a bad thing, it's a gift. But I never worked on it. It's just a gift it's an endowment from Hashem. So I'm not going to get schar in shamayim. I get a lot of schar in this world. Very valuable in this world. But I don't want to get schar in shamayim because I didn't work on it. But I got angry, well, close to being angry this week. For this reason. That it's unhealthy, my position. Because if someone comes and speaks against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or speaks against values, which I believe in, then my nature will be just to agree with them and to go along with them, and it's very unhealthy. And the fact that I'm very calm and gentle is not always a good thing. If someone does something wrong or harmful, my nature would be just to allow them to do it and not to stop them. Because it's not that I've worked on it. It's just naturally who I am. So it's a good and a bad thing. It's usually good, but it can also be bad when you're up against someone who's got a bad intention. So last week, someone came to speak to me about a chavrusa. Chavrusa switch. And they're in a chavrusa which they're benefiting the other person, and I think it's a healthy relationship. They're learning well, but they want to learn with someone on a higher level. They said to me, they were trying to convince me why they should stop this chavrusa and they should go to another and leave the other person stranded. So they said to me, so Rebbe, didn't you say, and this drove me crazy, because if there's one line which I can't stand about yeshiva is this line, and they said this line in my name. So they said, Rebbe, didn't you say that you have to be selfish in yeshiva? And I, the calmest person, who never raises my voice, I raised my voice. And I said, that was never said in my name, and you should never say that in my name. That's the one line, and I was actually late, and I had to get somewhere, but I stayed there. Because I had to clarify this terrible mistake. The idea of being selfish in yeshiva is a concept which goes against the whole purpose of yeshiva. Yeshiva is not a place where the end goal is to be a Talmud Chacham. The goal of yeshiva, where the end goal is to be a Ben Torah. And the underlying principle behind being a Ben Torah is that it's in line with the will of Hashem. And therefore, if a person says, I'm going to do something at the expense of someone else for me to learn better, it's against the will of Hashem. The whole purpose of learning is that it will be leading to Yirat Shamayim, as the Gemara said in Daf Yomi last week. The whole purpose is that it leads to Ma'asim Tovim. So the person to learning, and in his mindset of learning is, I want my learning to be good, I don't care about the evil, even if it's going to harm other people, I don't care. It's undermining the whole purpose of yeshiva. He might be a philosopher, he might be a professor of Talmud study, but he will not be a Ben Torah. And to say it in my name, that drove me crazy. Because it's against what I stand for. It's like my whole purpose in the yeshiva, I feel, is to create an environment and a mindset of where becoming a Ben Torah and Yirat Shamayim are the main goal. And Talmud Torah is the main way in that. For sure. It's the main way. But it's not at the expense of ever. So that was a time where I got a little bit angry. That's a time where it's healthy to. Shimush HaGvura. You have to know that you have within you two opposite kochot. You have a koach of being gentle and kind and easygoing, and it's useful and helpful to use that. But if you're all the way extreme over there like I am, it's unhealthy. Because then when someone stands up and says something which is against the principle of Hashem, you'll say, okay, like where it's unhealthy in me until this day is where I see Chilul Shabbat, it doesn't really bother me. And it's a terrible thing to say. It's terrible. If I look out ever, Baruch Hashem, I live in a place where I don't see it so much. But it's not hard. You can just look towards the road. And how many people are going to hospital to have a baby? That one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. And how many Arabs are driving on the road? There's no Arabs who drive on this road, really. Here and there, there's maybe one. So all these people are Arabs, and all this, during the week, there aren't people having babies and Arabs. But on Shabbos, Dafka, so all the Arabs are driving, and all people having babies are driving. Yecholio. But it's not so mistabbe. So then maybe there's one of them who's not, who hasn't learned yet about Shabbos. And it doesn't really, really, really bother me. Why? Because I don't have the Gvurot Halev. I don't have that sensitivity. I have, like, I do what you do, everyone's good, everyone's happy. Overall, it serves me very well. Very good for Shalom Bayit, it's very good for raising children, it's very good for being a Mashkiach and connecting to the guys. There's a place where it's unhealthy. There's a case where things are going wrong, and you just let it happen. You don't make a fuss about it. The healthy is to be on each side of the spectrum. So when you're talking to your wife, when you're talking to your kids, then you have a gentleness, and you have a calmness and a kindness, and you don't get frustrated, and you don't get worked up, because you have Rakuta Leh, and that's the side of the spectrum you draw on in the right position. And you're the Bala Bayit, you're in control, you're the master. However, when it's the other side, when someone's speaking against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when someone is speaking against kindness towards other people, then you come out like a lion and you shout them down in a way that's going to be productive. Not in a way that's just going to make the whole situation worse, but in a way where you speak out against the avil. How do you say avil in English? Avil? Disgrace? Disgrace. Avil. How do you say avil in English? Iniquity. How do you say iniquity in English? About the terrible thing that's happening, you have to have gvura, and that might not be natural to you. So you have to learn to have control of each side. And you have to know, it might not be easy for you, and then you have to develop that side, or whichever side, some people on the other side, and then you have to develop the gentle side. Everyone's in a different place. Naturally, you're in one place. But you have to know, you have to learn to be controlling the whole spectrum. La'amod b'kol nisayon kadei la'asot et rotzon Hashem. We're willing to put ourselves in the light. Right? If a person has a too easygoing nature, when they say to him that he has to accept another religion, he'll say, okay, I'll do it, and then I'll accept it externally, but internally I'll still carry on doing the will of Hashem. I don't want to make a fuss, I don't want to make a big deal. That's where in extreme it would lead. You have to be saying, no, I'm not willing to do anything. God is my God, and I'm not willing to do anything against that. That's an extreme example. And also in a much lighter example, but more relevant, is if someone's saying Lashon Hara to you, but they're your friend, and they're in the middle of talking, you stop them in the middle of a sentence. Not Naim. Why? It's rude. He started saying something, I'm going to stop him in the middle of a sentence? Yes? You are. Well, generally, you don't say, that's Lashon Hara! You won't have any friends after that. But if you say just gently, you say like, do I need to hear this? Is it allowed according to Allah to say at that point? And you could say it in a way which is just like asking them a question. You can find your way in gently to say. Don't go, la, 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 I'm not listening to you. Say it gently, in a gentle, calm way. But that's Gevurah. That's real Gevurah. He's your friend. You like him. You want to have a good relationship with him. But he's talking Lashon Hara. What do you do? Gevurah. And what happens if it's someone who's in a higher status than you? Someone who's a Shana Bet, or someone older, or it's even a rabbi who'd say something which you feel is inappropriate. You have to have Gevurah. Say, Rebbe, is this a Tohelet? That's very hard to say. I don't know if you can say that. You have to find a way to say it. Maybe you could change conversation suddenly. But Gevurah, if it's against the will of Hashem, it's against the will of Hashem. And that's very hard. For me. Some people that's very easy. And for them it's very hard to just be calm. You have to find, either way, the goal is, there's a spectrum. You are in control of the spectrum. You develop whichever side of the spectrum is natural to you. And then you have the wisdom to know in any given situation, what is the most healthy response to be on the spectrum to this particular situation. That's great.